Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
Ben, we cut you out in the middle of a description, but we have to do that because this little clock on the wall says, you got to go when you got to go. So let's continue.
Where was the question?
We had asked about the types of explorations that's been conducted on this particular plateau.
Okay. Yeah, there's only about two scientific papers that I have read, two major expeditions, scientific expeditions in this plateau that I have occurred. And I actually did talk to another guy who runs a nonprofit environmental nonprofit organization. And he actually, his whole thing is he goes up and has people set camera traps up there to document what kind of wildlife could or is up there. And his whole philosophy is, if we can document endangered or unique species in this environment, then we can kind of like better protect this area. We can better protect whatever species we find. He's found quite a few creatures, various known creatures, and also some unknown ones, mainly snakes and amphibians, that type of thing that live up there. So, yeah, he's doing some amazing research, not really in the sense of exploring, but more passively observing. Yeah, there is research going on there right now.
And you talked about tourists. Does the Venezuelan government actually allow tourists to go up on that plateau?
Yeah, they do.
Wow.
It's kind of a developing industry. I wouldn't say that there's too many tourists who really can make that happen. Like I said, you have to take a long boat ride. You got to go to a very small village. You got to do a lot of things to kind of get out there. But yeah, it's being definitely encouraged also by the nonprofit. They want to encourage the tourism side of things because that kind of is a really good source of sustainable income for the local people there. But yeah, like I said, like that's not your average tourist experience. It's pretty intense. Not too many people are doing it.
And I can imagine, considering the size of this plateau, that there's really only a limited area that they're able to go to.
Yeah, definitely. I still haven't been there, but it definitely is something I plan to do someday. I can only imagine it would be beyond incredible. So, you know, we'll see.
Well, I mean, considering that, looking at your book, that Angel Falls wasn't even really discovered until, what, was it like 1920?
Yeah.
So that's just really recent.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, it's the other thing about it is like the local people there, like the native Indian, the native Venezuelans who live in that area, they are traditionally kind of like scared of these mountains. They call them the Tepuis, which is translated as the home of the gods, and they basically claim that these kind of like evil spirits inhabit these mountains. And that they can possess you, they can steal your soul, or they can even cause you to completely disappear. So yeah, that's another like factor you have to think about of why these locations are so extremely understudied and unknown today.
Why don't you tell us a little bit more about, I'm terrible with names here, you have to forgive me, what is it, Alexander's Lemay, Liney?
Okay.
because there's some interesting things. I mean, not just about the creatures, but it says that he'd been enticed by tales of a golden river on top of the mountain.
Yeah, definitely. I think the whole history behind this place is pretty incredible, too. Like, someone could probably just write a book about that and not have any kind of dinosaur stuff in there, and it would still be very interesting. And, yeah, there's this guy that, called Alexander Lime. He was the hermit in the internet post. And he actually heard from the pilot, Jimmy Angel, who the Angel Falls is named after. Jimmy Angel discovered this place first in an airplane. And Jimmy Angel thought there was gold there. And so he talks about rivers of gold. And he apparently had one time landed and found a bunch of gold at this location. So, yeah, he told this story a lot. He told this to everyone who would basically listen. Told this to Alexander Lime, who in turn went there. That's probably why he went there to begin with, to look for the rivers of gold. And, yeah, Alexander Lime was a character. He definitely had a lot of interesting statements. He claimed he saw other things up there, including giant hoofed footprints. He claimed he saw a pigeon three times the size of a normal pigeon. And he also claimed he saw these 3 foot tall humanoid entities that lived within various caves. And that stuff hasn't really been investigated properly by anyone, but it is confirmed rather recently that this plateau is basically riddled with caves. It actually contains the longest quartz limestone cave system in the world. And so it's very interesting that this guy, Alexander Lime, said this before it was known there was any caves. So, yeah, I personally see no discernible reason to think he would have made up this or other parts of his story that have turned out to be true over time.
That sounds almost like the Central and South American legends of the Duende. And you talk about the little creatures living in, or little humanoid creatures living in the caves. So yeah. it makes you wonder if the villagers and the people who live in the area around these tepuis have these kinds of stories a lot of times just to keep the kids, to scare the kids and keep them in at night.
That's a possibility. It could be some just people up there, living up there, who some kind of ethnic group or tribe of people that is right now undocumented. It's anyone's guess. Yeah, like I said, yeah, these places are very understudied, and there's still 50 more plateaus in Venezuela alone that no one has ever been to.
Wow. Now, you also mentioned in the book, a book written by Jimmy Angel's niece, Karen Angel. And she had a story that I remember hearing about years ago.
Yeah, Karen Angel, she wrote the book about Jimmy Angel, the famous explorer who discovered this plateau. And yeah, she basically wrote his biography. He had a very interesting story. I personally don't remember all the details to it, but he lived a very interesting life, and I recommend anyone to go look into it.
In the book that that she wrote, and you included it in your own, Lamy reported to many people, and this is what Jimmy Angel had written down at some point, including American travel writer Tim Cahill.
Before we go any further with that, your description, Tim, we've got to a break. Ben, Gene, Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on this special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If we've learned anything from recent news, it's that unexpected things are happening. Your gut tells you there's something very wrong going on, and all the evidence suggests that there is. Government emails are hacked. There's talk of how to fight World War III, and trade of grains and food are being disrupted. Those in charge say everything's fine. Stop noticing, but you know better. It's time to invest in self-reliance and emergency food storage now, more than ever. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, is the place you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunch, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save 25%, plus get free shipping on all their 3-month emergency food kits. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. It's time to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com, or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Medicaid and CHIP offer free or low-cost health coverage for children and teens. Hospital and doctor visits, prescriptions, shots, and more are covered. That's peace of mind for parents if a child is sick or gets injured. And parents may now be eligible for Medicaid, too, even if they've applied in the past. Enrollment is always open. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
As Tim recovers his voice, you started in the last segment to recite something and you need to continue. Go ahead.
All right, Gene.
Sometimes you have to do a little phlegm to get that voice back.
So Lamy reported to many people, including American travel writer Tim Cahill, that he had seen prehistoric creatures on the Tapuli. And I'm not even going to pronounce. How do you pronounce the name of this place, Ben?
That's a good question. I think you're doing it right.
Well, it's like Iwantapui, or
exactly. Yes, that's the correct pronunciation.
But anyway, Lamy said that he had been walking on the river, and quite a bit ahead of him, he had seen some strange dark shapes sunning on rocks in a deep pool. Now, one description I heard was that these things were relatively small, like maybe the size of a large iguana, but they had long necks, four flippers, two in the front, two in the back, and that when the thing saw him, they slithered off the rocks and dropped into the water. Sounds like that he ran across, like, juvenile versions of these things.
From all the reports of these creatures, they have all been actually, 3 feet long is usually what I've heard. So we probably can make an educated guess that if they are real, they don't grow very big because they live in kind of like these small river ecosystems. They don't live in like open ocean. They're adapted to their environment over, millions of years. So, you can kind of think of them as a Loch Ness monster, a miniature-sized one that might be adapted to live upon very small insects or fish or amphibians. That's how I see it.
Mm-hmm. Now, the picture that you have in the book that was taken by Jose Miguel Perez Gomez, which is on page 10 for anyone who wants to get a copy of for themselves, and I highly recommend it. It's a zoomed-in picture of a larger photo showing a strange shape protruding from the water. What did he estimate or what size this thing could have been that he saw swimming around?
I mean, from my talks with him, this was something he didn't really see at the time, and he told me it was very, difficult to take a picture from a moving helicopter trying to find these creatures and photograph them, and he didn't really notice this until later. I don't think he really could have given an accurate estimate on the size, but in his estimation, it was more or less appeared to be the right size. Yeah, it was a very difficult circumstances, and the photo is blurry, but I don't know. You look at it, and you see a curved kind of thin shape rising from the middle of the water. And, yeah, it makes you wonder. It makes you think a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's got that classical Loch Ness monster shape to it.
Yes, it does.
And looking at, because it looks to be at least fairly close to the shore, and you can see like a canopy of trees fairly close by, you can probably estimate that it's probably taller than 3 feet sticking above the water. I'd say, maybe between 3 to 6 feet in height. And let's see, and he said that this picture was taken, what did he call it? It was the Valley of the, I'm going to find this again here. Valley of the Dinosaurs, which was in an area at the foothills of the plateau, not on the plateau, but on the foothills surrounding it.
The picture that is in my book, that picture was from the small lake and lagoon ecosystem that was on the top of the mountain itself. And the Valley of the Dinosaurs, so that was a term that Alexander Lime, the hermit, spoke about. And he was the one who claimed this was an area he had discovered that was somewhere in the foothills of the plateau that was home to more of the creatures. And he never actually revealed the precise location. So, I have studied this whole area extensively on satellite photography, and there are many valleys all around it. So that's one of the things I talk about is if these creatures are real, they obviously live in a much larger territory than just a plateau. It's possible they're all over this whole general jungle area. And again, no one really knows they're there because it's so isolated to begin with. And who just goes out into the jungle for no reason around this giant mountain? There's nothing there for miles and miles.
Maybe there is.
Maybe there is.
Maybe there is. That's why they need to get out there. But having been in some harsh jungles myself in Central and South America, yeah, I wouldn't want to do it. Now, what about, you've got a chapter called The Scientist, and you refer to a TV show called Terra X. You want to talk about that?
All right, yeah. So the other witness on record, like, there's not too many, so it's a challenge to research all this. Jose Miguel Perez Gomez said there is a professor, a scientist, who had seen the creature also. And that's also what I learned from the pilot who I spoke to who saw it as well. And it turns out this scientist, he was from the University of Caracas. And he did an expedition, I think, in the 90s. And it was documented by a TV, very kind of obscure TV show called TerreX, T-E-R-R-E-X. And they were kind of like, along this expedition, there were a presenter, there was the scientist, and there were some German scientists. It was kind of like a German expedition. And so it wasn't supposed to be about the dinosaur at all. Originally, it was kind of just like a science expedition. They were just up there to kind of like study the flora, the fauna, the environment. And it starts off like any other kind of science National Geographic show where they're just going along the river and commenting on various flowers and things they see. And then they're up there on the plateau, kind of like looking around. And then there's this very, very dramatic scene where a helicopter comes down from the sky, and out of the helicopter jumps the scientist. And he starts screaming, he starts shouting, waving his arms frantically, and you can't hear anything they're saying.
We are going to break here on the cliffhanger. They're waving, we're waving. Gene, Tim, and Ben, you're in
the podcast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. In the headlines this Sunday morning, former President Trump speaking in South Carolina last night at the Silver Elephant Gala. Detectives on Long Island say they've identified another possible victim of the serial killer. Correspondent Brad Siegel on the story.
Law enforcement authorities on Long Island, New York, are identifying another Gilgo Beach murder victim. Speaking to reporters Friday, police say the remains of Karen Vergata were found in 1996 and again in 2011. Vergata was known as Fire Island Jane Doe until Friday's announcement. The news comes after the suspect, Rex Huerman, was charged with the murder of three victims in the Gilgo Beach area. I'm Brad Siegel.
And you still have a chance to become a billionaire.
The Mega Millions jackpot is climbing sky high. Tuesday's jackpot will be worth $1.5 billion. That's the third largest U.S. lottery jackpot. I'm Chris Caraggio.
And I'm Laura Winters, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, we rave, you wave. Tell us more, Ben.
Yeah, so he's waving and you can't hear anything that he's saying. And basically the narration takes over at that point and says that he's saying that he's just seen the dinosaur. And it's exactly like Alexander Lime has said it would be. It's a small creature. And at that point, the whole expedition changes. And they're like, okay, this is all about finding a dinosaur now. And they're arguing. They're looking around, and they don't find anything. So, yeah, they really can't find it. And it shows them kind of like talking a lot. They're arguing. Like, is this even possible? And that's about all that happened on that TV show. It is worth noting that the guy who saw it up there was this very credentialed scientist from the University of Caracas. This isn't some random person. This is a legitimate scientist.
And did he see this thing, you know, in the water, in a river, or what?
I believe he saw it in the exact same lagoon that Jose Miguel Perez Gomez saw it.
Oh, okay. And within the same size range as the other descriptions, more of a smaller version of a plesiosaur.
That's correct. Yeah, they kind of like talk about, could it be some kind of otter? Could it be an unknown type of reptile? And nothing really fits.
So now, how likely do you think that a creature that lived or at least a species, not the individual creatures, but a species that maybe developed millions of years ago could still be alive today. The species could still be alive today in a remote area on the globe.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And for example, we have here in Oregon, I'm actually out here at the river right now as we're talking. Here in this very river, we have a bunch of sturgeons. Sturgeons are these ancient prehistoric fish that have been around for 100 million years, basically unchanged in their appearance. And yeah, people confuse them for lake monsters all the time. And yeah, it's very, very possible that some life forms can kind of exist for eons over time, not really change all that much.
Oh, and I've seen sturgeons in real life, too. I mean, they are definitely prehistoric looking, and they can get huge.
Yeah, they can get up to 20 feet. I can't even imagine. That would be cool to see one. I have only seen one once before.
Well, and you also have, say, like the coelacanth, which was first discovered in the ocean off of, I think it was South Africa. But later they found them in other locations. And they really haven't, it's a fish that hasn't changed much in millions of years.
Yeah, we also have, of course, crocodiles. They've been around for a very long time as well. So, yeah, there are these certain outlier species that appear to exist through the long periods of time and really not change too much.
Well, in relationship to this, what do you think about other stories of sea serpents, lake monsters, like Lake Champlain, Loch Ness Monster, things like that? Well, heck, I mean, even off the Washington and Oregon coast, there's been sightings of what appear to be what they would call sea serpents.
I think that some could be real. Probably the one that stands out to me the most would be Champ in Virginia. The reason why is there's been at least three people that I know of that have recorded echolocation in Lake Champlain in Virginia.
Vermont.
And,
it's in Vermont.
I'm sorry, Vermont, yes. And to me, that's very compelling. Like, there's not supposed to be any kind of life form that can echolocate, aside from a dolphin and beluga whale. And when you listen to it, it's very, like, unmistakable. I do believe there is something in that lake that is producing echolocation. And it's just kind of a question of what is it? According to all the people who have seen something with their own eyes, it's one of these Loch Ness Monster type things. But, of course, you could have a freshwater dolphin. But I don't understand how a dolphin would remain undiscovered. Dolphins are highly social and tend to make their presence known most of the time.
Now, one thing that occurs to me when we talk about all these strange creatures, how often people simply misinterpret something conventional for something unusual.
I think that does happen. Believe it or not, I'm kind of a skeptic on the Loch Ness Monster. I've heard a lot that there's kind of like giant eels there. And I think there is an argument to be made that given the amount of public scrutiny and attention that particular area has received, it seems more likely than not to me we would have found that one by now. So, yeah, we could have a lot of factors, eels, various other large fish that would look really bizarre if you had no kind of like context for it.
One of the things about the alleged Loch Ness Monster and Lake Champlain and some of these other large lake monsters is that they all tend to be in large freshwater lakes along the same latitudes across the globe. Lake Champlain, Loch Ness are, you know, pretty close together along those lines. And then when you come to the southern latitudes, Venezuela, and then, you know, other places around the globe along the same latitude, again, all have similar reports of strange lake creatures.
That's a compelling, I think that's worth studying more and looking into the correlation between longitudes and latitudes and specific nature of these reports. I definitely think that's a good thing to think about.
Well, what do you hope will happen next? I mean, do you think that there are going to be other people who will take this ball and run with it? Would you like to take this ball and run with it? I mean, I know this is a very remote location, but, would you like to go there and see for yourself?
I think for me right now, I have another book coming out, which is kind of like about more lost world locations, more of these types of similar stories. And, that's been my focus. Eventually, I would love to go study it for myself, but these type of things, they take a lot of funding and time and resources to really, really get out there, as you can see and imagine.
Well, what about DNA research? You've got a section in your book that talks about using DNA to try to identify creatures in various locations. I know that they've done that with Bigfoot as well.
We'll talk about DNA and more with Ben Tejada Ingram, Gene Steinberg, Tim Schwartz. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with ExtendoVite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. ExtendoVite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and ExtendoVite is all natural. ExtendoVite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take ExtendoVite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Tim Swartz asked a question of our guest, Ben Tejada Ingram, in our previous segment. Ben, what's your answer?
Can you remind me of the question?
Sure. We were talking about DNA research and how you can just take a sample of, say, like the dirt or water at a location and be able to pull out the DNA of animals that have been around there. And there's been attempts to do the same thing in North America in search of Bigfoot.
Yeah, you know, I think that's probably the best kind of evidence you can hope to ask for, aside from a physical body or proof. You know, there have been various attempts to find Bigfoot DNA. Some have been successful, some have not, but I'll tell you guys about something interesting I learned in my new book. I have a chapter about the Yeti, and in Bhutan, there was a expedition taken by Josh Gates, the TV explorer, and he found a strand of hair, and he got it analyzed. And according to the actual science laboratory there, they said it appeared human, and it had all the markers of human DNA. But 100% was not human. And then they went on to say that it could have been some kind of undocumented ethnic group, or it could have been some kind of near human relative. But what they were sure was it actually was some kind of primate species that was not a part of the database whatsoever. So, you know, people ask, like, what is the proof of Bigfoot? And you can call that proof, but really what's needed is more samples, more of the same type of thing to really conclusively prove that there is something out there, some new species.
Well, I should mention that something similar happened in Kentucky, where a group had taken a soil sample around what appeared to be a Bigfoot nest, for want of a better word. And the results came back as pan troglodyte, which is a chimpanzee. Now, as far as I know, there's no chimpanzee in Kentucky, but that was the closest match that they could come up with. And when it comes to this kind of DNA research, if it is an unknown species, then the result will come back as, you know, inconclusive. which makes it very difficult to try to use this to discover a new species.
You basically have to have a sample by which to compare it. Also, if it's a close relative to an existing species, it may not register that much different.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, but, you know, really what's needed is more evidence, more samples, and, you know, these single pieces of DNA I think are very compelling, but not all people agree. People tend to have a strange view about it, but the fact of the matter is there are things out there that shouldn't be there that don't match, that are not part of the existing scientific body of knowledge, and they are real. Like, you cannot fake DNA. It's impossible to alter or change any kind of DNA evidence. So, yeah, it's definitely something going on, and people need to take it seriously.
Well, it's like the recent examination of the waters of Loch Ness looking for something, a different type of species, and the best that they could come up with was there were a lot of eels there. So, I mean, if you have something that may be a close species to eel, but something unknown, that's the closest result that you're going to get. So the same way would be with these possible creatures in Venezuela. If they're related to some other type of current modern species, then that's going to be the result. It's going to go to whatever it would be related to.
Yeah, I think it's very well possible that a lot of this Bigfoot DNA is misinterpreted as human DNA, because it could be that they're very closely related to us. But some of these other ones, there might not be any very, like, kind of close relative in the DNA record. Yeah, it's very interesting.
Do you think there are any other locations, you know, in Venezuela or South America where these creatures could possibly also exist?
To my knowledge, the answer to that is no. But I will say there have been some other isolated reports, some within the Amazon River, and some even down in Argentina, of similar creatures, things that might resemble something with a long neck, reptilian, but I don't know. I think when you have kind of these one-off reports, they can't really be confirmed or denied, so it's very possible that there's more of them out there, that they live in other places, but definitely more study and research needs to be done to really know.
Well, the problem, I think, sometimes with a lot of this phenomena is it's fodder for reality TV shows. As we all know, reality TV shows have a mixed record of accuracy because they're looking for ratings, and the ratings breed ads. So it makes it more difficult to separate the real stories from the stuff. Well, we got a crazy story. Let's just present it because it looks good.
Yeah, you have to do your due diligence with reality TV. There are some people out there that I think are more real than others, and that's a whole other subject unto itself. But yeah, you always have to be aware of that when you're watching these shows.
Well, one thing we'll ask you on the premium show after the PowerCast is the ways you can tell whether that particular show is accurate or is just exaggerating stuff so they find the ghost after 43 minutes, if you know what I mean. Hey, we're just about out of time in our main show. Would you tell our listeners, Ben Dahada Ingram, where we can learn more about your stuff and what you got coming up?
Yeah, if anyone wants to come find me on the internet, I would say look up my book on Amazon, The Last Dinosaur of the Lost World. And next month, some point, August for sure, my new book will be out, and it will be called The Lands Forgotten by Time. And you can just search that, or really just search my name, Ben Tejada Ingram, and that's spelled T-E-J-A-D-A hyphen I-N-G-R-A-M.
We'll be looking forward to you. And books are available at Amazon, I assume?
Yes.
Excellent. I'm going to ask you a fast question before we go. You chase the unknown. Do you have a day job?
Yes. I have a day job. I do not make a full-time living at this yet.
Can you tell us what you do?
Oh, I work in a hospital sterilization department. Nothing too exciting.
Hey, if it pays the bills, that's perfectly fine. Speaking of paying the bills, you can find us on Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called now. I keep losing track. On Threads, on Facebook, as the Paracast, on all three. We also offer branded merchandise. So you have a Paracast logo, choose one of four of them, and get the T-shirt and the throw pillow and the cap and all the really good stuff at great prices. Check out theparacast.shop or theparacast.store. They both work. Both go to the same place. We offer a very, very special version of this show without the network ads. And to do that, you have to subscribe to the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. We also offer the After the Paracast podcast, where we continue discussions with our guests, or we have other discussions. You can't miss it. It's uncensored. We also offer a special discount. Use the coupon code UFO20, UFO20, and you get a discount of 20% on 5-year and lifetime subscriptions at theparacast.plus. Ben Tejada Ingram, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Oh, thank you guys for having me so much. I really, really appreciate the opportunity.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.